In the name of Jesus, amen. And the woman said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." It is true and it is sad that many reject and refuse to hear the gifted mercy and salvation of our God. And yet there are others who hunger mightily for it, day in and day out. And they who have nothing in the world, yet they have everything in God. They who are mangy dogs, who are sinners, are yet given to eat the children's bread, which is eternal life. They who are unworthy are actually the worthy ones to finally taste and see that the Lord indeed is good, and that He delights in them. And so as you overhear this conversation with this Canaanite woman and Jesus, the first thing that strikes you is that it's really hard not to cringe and to want to apologize for our inconsiderate friend Jesus, to rebuke him for how harsh he is with this begging woman. After all, this woman comes to Jesus in uttermost need and begs, "Lord, come and help my daughter." But so cold is Jesus. So indifferent is Jesus. He doesn't even acknowledge her presence. The text tells us that he doesn't even answer her a word. But, like a dog in its bone, this woman does not stop. She prays what we know to be the Kyrie. "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." And she does so fervently that the disciples beg Jesus to send this wretched woman away from them. And if that was not bad enough of the disciples shooing away this woman, she finally hears Jesus' lips come unglued, and what does he say? But almost as if a dagger in her heart. "I wasn't sent to any except those lost sheep of the house of Israel. In short, I didn't come for you." And yet even that harsh word does not deter her. Rather, the disciples cannot restrain her, and she probably breaks through their hold, and she falls down at the feet of Jesus. She's prostrated herself before Jesus. She's worshiping Jesus, and she begs, "Lord, save me, help me." And almost the crown of utter indifference, he looks into this woman's eyes, this swollen face, this reddened face, and he says to her, like salt in a wound, "You know, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs." Now, the surprise of this text oftentimes is that Jesus is such an inconsiderate individual that leads biblical commentators to say so much that Jesus is developing in his godness, which is completely ridiculous. Rather, the point of the text that surprises us is, for us Christians, we who call upon the name of God, we who cry to God both day and night, we who ask God for help, realize how familiar this conversation is between Jesus and the woman. The interaction here is exactly the interaction I have when I pray to God. And that is why Matthew, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has recorded these words for us to hear and to learn from. Now, you all know that Jesus loves to make us wait to answer our prayers. Now, granted, sometimes Jesus does answer our prayers immediately. Perfect example is last week. Peter is sinking into the Sea of Galilee, and he cries out, "Lord, save me." And you know, Jesus immediately puts his hand down, and he grabs Peter out of the water, or up from the water, and he ushers him back into the boat. Sometimes Jesus answers our prayers like that, immediately. But seasoned Christians that you are, suffering, afflicted, having all sorts of crosses in this life, and you've been around the block before a few times, you know that most often he answers our prayers like this. Silence. It's as if he doesn't even hear. It's almost as if the doors of heaven and the windows of heaven are locked shut and our prayers are just bouncing off the exterior walls. And we feel like the woman, and he did not even answer her a word. "You don't have a single word for me, Jesus? Not one word?" Again, Jesus has this conversation with this woman to teach his disciples and to teach us to know that there is indeed a yes to our prayers that is on the way. That Jesus has this conversation for his disciples and for us, for our benefit, to know that all of our days on this broken and afflicted earth, we will be like this woman, begging to God for him to help us. As tradition has it, the last words that Martin Luther wrote down in German were translated into English as this: "We are beggars, this is true." And surprise, even greater here, is that God loves this disposition among his children, that they are beggars before him, that they cry to him both day and night in every trouble, and they praise and they give thanks. For you must know that the arena of prayer is a wrestling mat. Yes, prayer may be speaking to God, but it probably far more is sparring with God. It's like, you know, Jacob in the desert. The Lord wants you to take a hold of him by an unrelenting, locked jaw, if you will, faith that he would keep his promises to you, to your family, to your children, to your siblings, to your husband or wife, to all your friends and neighbors, to everyone. The result being that Jesus does not want us to grow weary in prayer. With Jacob, he wants us to say to him, "Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me." And in a way, when you think about your prayers, every prayer that you have begins unanswered. For everything that you ask of the Lord, you ask him because you don't have it and you need it. Every prayer begins unanswered because it seems as if the Lord, for the benefit of our loved ones, for the benefit of the body of Christ, for the benefit of teaching others, the Lord waits to the very last minute to answer our prayers. But he doesn't ever want you to stop asking. He doesn't ever want you to give up hope. He doesn't ever want you to throw the towel in. What he wants is for you to seek and to ask and to knock. What he wants for you is to keep on asking and to keep on seeking and to keep on knocking. It is not right to throw the children's bread to the dogs. And the woman looks up at Jesus from a prostrated position. "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." "O woman, great is your faith." And it was done for her as she desired, that her daughter was healed. Here you see that the compassion of Jesus, his desire to rescue this woman's daughter, comes spilling out, and now the power of the Lord is manifested. Salvation is delivered. Deliverance is delivered to this woman. And that's exactly what Jesus wanted the whole time he was talking to her. When he said nothing to her, when he preached how he had not come for her, when he referred to her in the sermon as a dog, this is exactly what Jesus wanted to do. It's what he desires. He wants to be a rescuer of dogs, that is, a rescuer of sinners. He wants to be a master who has a table that feeds his children with the crumbs of grace for us to seek after him and his bread like that dog of yours that the minute you drop food off your table in your house, that dog is on it. He wants you to be like that when it comes to his grace and sacrament and word. This is why he puts the woman before us as an example of faith. And it's not her faith, if you will, because faith essentially does this. It takes a hold of Christ's words, even when they are harsh. Faith receives a word which both stings and soothes and consoles the body and soul. The word which is both law and gospel. Faith says, yes, Lord, I'm a dog. I'm a sinner. Yes, you know what? Give the bread to the children. I ask no favors. I ask no special treatment. I'm not worthy of that. But all I ask, O Lord, is just let me scrounge around on the floor and let me eat and lick up the crumbs that fall from the children's table that they don't even miss. They don't even know that is even missing. But, oh Lord, those crumbs that I eat, I will be satisfied and completely content with that. It is enough for me. And so it was that, Luther says, Christ was overcome by his own words. Therefore, we learn that we must wrestle God to the mat with his own moves. We have to accept the status of a sinner, not because we're being told that we're just these horrible people and that we should be abused and all these kinds of things. No, we're accepting the reality of a sinner because that's the truth. But the greater truth is that we've been gifted the forgiveness of sins to eat the crumbs that fall from this perfect master's table. Our God wants to be forced into the corners of his grace. Our God wants to be forced into the boxes of his love and his compassion. He wants to be checkmated by his own promises. It's like a father who plays hide-and-go-seek in the backyard with his child, and when they're very young, and when the child finally finds him, you know, which is not all that hard, he jumps up and down and says, "You got me, you got me." He picks her up in his arms and hugs her. If you want a sentimental picture for this. This is the strange struggle of faith right here that is narrated for us, that it might be example to us that we ought not to grow weary in prayer or give up ever. Because even if he calls us dogs, we know that dogs must have a master, one who is their best friend, one who has indeed redeemed them. And also, he has provided a table for them where even crumbs fall where they are fed and nourished. So that today the Lord is being overcome by an untiring faith. But do not misunderstand. This faith is great precisely only because its object, its faith's object, is being clinged to in Jesus. The object of faith is Jesus, and that is why this faith is great. Yes, even dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. We know that Jesus dwells only in sinners and for sinners. He has proven this because he says to us, "I have not come to call the righteous, but the sick." He's not come to call lambs who think that they're spotless and without blame or blemish, but he's called mangy dogs who cannot help but return to their own vomit, and yet say, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from your table, O Lord. For by baptizing you, by feeding you his supper, he calls you his children, whom he will never let go of. And he also loves all those whom you cry for to help. He loves them even more than you could ever imagine. And know that his compassion for them, as it is for you, is on the way. That a yes to their prayers and a yes to your prayers is on the way. That his salvation for them is on the way, as it is for you on the way. And may we remember that as we continue in this valley of tears, in this broken life, that as faith will fail each sense of ours, this alone will be our confidence. That even dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. In the name of Jesus, amen.